As you may know, during Easter we have compulsory readings from the Acts of the Apostles, which give us a picture of what life was like for the first generation of Christians, as well as a reading from the Gospels, of course. Today's reading from the Acts is very short, but in those six verses is a summary of what the tasks of the church were and how they were fulfilled. And there's no reason to suppose that the tasks for us today are any different in essence from how they were then, however different the context may be. There seem to be four of them. What I would invite you to do is to explore how those four tasks were played out in the first century and reflect on how well or otherwise we're grappling with them now. The first is telling. The lesson begins by saying, many were baptized and were added to the community, and ends with a similar statement, and day by day the Lord was adding to their number those who were being saved. Whether we find it comfortable or not, we have to face the fact we are in a post-Christian society, and that the majority, yes, the majority of people do not know the Christian message. So it isn't a question of people rejecting it, but rather of their not knowing it. For some people, it's they don't know, they know a very limited amount, gleaned from folk religion rather than anything more reliable, and that can hinder rather than help. As Alexander Pope wrote, a little knowledge is a dangerous thing. If you look for what the message was that they proclaimed in the first century, the sermons in Acts can be summarized in 6 points. 1, the Old Testament prophecies have been fulfilled. 2, this has happened in the life, death, and resurrection of Jesus. 3, Jesus has been exalted as Messiah and Lord. 4, this belief has been confirmed by the gift of the Holy Spirit. 5, Jesus will return to bring everything to its completion. And 6, everyone in the meantime has the opportunity to respond by repentance and to receive forgiveness and the gift of the Spirit. In some ways, we have a harder task than they did, because we can't assume the religious background that they could. But we see in the way Paul preached to the pagans in Athens that you can adapt that outline to new circumstances. That's what, for example, the ordination says of the faith, that the church is called upon to proclaim it afresh in every generation. Now, we do that as an institution by what we do together. But in order for the church to act like that, it has to get people inside. For example, a remarkable fact came to light about 15 years ago, I guess it was something like that, that at that time, roughly half the population went into a church or chapel for a wedding service each year. Now, they say there are lies, damn lies, and statistics, but even if the statistic is wrong by 50%, it's still a remarkable number. Now, that number is far, far less now. COVID and other factors have seen to that, with far fewer church weddings. But opportunities exist, which we try to grasp inside our church buildings. But it's clear that those first believers were telling the story outside any religious building. They were on the streets and in people's homes. So the question has to be faced, however uncomfortable it may be for us, what am I doing to share the good news of the love of God in Jesus? We may do it in answering questions or making comments. Sometimes we'll do it not in words, but in what we do. And we're all called to be part of this church's task of telling. If we do not see people being added to our number, then it means we're not doing it as well as we might. The fact locally, I think, is that we do see people added to our number, but they only just replace the number we lose because they've died or moved away. Inevitably, we could do better. The second class task is doing. I'm using that very broad word to express what the New Testament calls diakonia, a service. If telling is about outreach, then this is about inreach. And you are in a parish named after a deacon, Lawrence, whose task was to care for the needy in the church community. If we listen to what they did in the first century, it's quite remarkable. Do you remember we read that they would sell all their possessions and goods and distribute the proceeds to all as any had need? That's a good passage to use with people who claim to take the Bible literally. Somehow that desire seems to evaporate if they're asked to take those verses literally. But that's what they did in the first century Jerusalem, for a while at any rate. if we're not showing service, diakonia, in that way, how do we do it now? Again, we could look at both the institutional level and the personal level. Most of the pastoral care in any church community is hidden, and I suppose most of us know a fraction of what happens in our name, as it were. People are often very grateful for the support that they get at times of crisis from the church community. That such support is there is how it should be. But as with telling, we can always do more and better. And again, it's not only what's done officially, but in the ordinary course of life by people who want to share the love of God in whatever way is possible for them, by doing. The third task is being. Twice in that short passage from Acts, we read that the Christian community were together. They were in what the New Testament writers called a koinonia, a fellowship. They were bound together in the love of God which united them, and which therefore spilt out from them not only to the needy within their community, but to those outside it. So we hear of them healing and being concerned in a more general way. The task for us today is still to be like that, reaching out to the marginalised and rejected in our world, and having a sense of belonging which reaches beyond the local to the worldwide. That's why our concern for world mission and our giving is so vital. We're not a religious club, but as Archbishop Temple is supposed to have said, we're the only organisation which exists for the benefit of those who are not its members. That's why it's encouraging to have people in our congregations who are committed to all sorts of service beyond the religious community, taking a lead in local organisations and in national, international charities and concerns. We say that we are the body of Christ, as Paul taught. We are the means by which his love is to be seen. And just as he associated with the outcasts and those who are despised, we have a responsibility to mirror that in what we do as a church community and as individual believers. The last task is celebrating. That's what we do when we go to church. Whatever other emotions we may bring when we meet together, we ought to be in a mood for celebration, a word which really means honouring. That first century community we read about in the passage from Acts did so in at least two ways. It says they spent much time together in the temple, but also that they broke bread at home praising God. That's a reminder that whilst we can't always gather in church, we don't stop being church. Those early believers had not yet left the Jewish fold, so they found that their new faith in Jesus the Messiah was entirely compatible with their usual worship in the temple, with all its formality and ritual. Whatever kind of service you attend in a church, it will have those elements of formality and ritual, because it's bringing together people who act as a unit. I remember being at a meeting when a Pentecostal Christian was leading the prayers. You might have expected those prayers to be spontaneous and not formal. In fact, it was full of formalized prayer language, not from a book, but from a different tradition. It was just as ritualized, but in another way. We need some kind of framework, just as they did in the temple in the first century, but they also worshipped at home. Thank God for the ways in which St. Lawrence fulfills the calling to tell, to do, to be, and to celebrate. And let's ask God to help us as a community and as individuals to do each of those tasks better, both in normal times and in any extraordinary ones, so that as we heard in the reading from Acts, the Lord will add to our number those who are being saved.